The North Korean leader, Kim Jong-un, has arrived in Russia for the first time, ahead of talks with Vladimir Putin. The Kremlin says the leaders will meet tomorrow to discuss the Korean Peninsula's nuclear problem. This trip comes after 2 months after Mr. Kim's second summit with US President Donald Trump collapsed with no agreement over sanctions. Robert Kelly is a professor of political science at Pusan National University in South Korea, and he joins me now. Robert, thank you so much for your time. How significant is this meeting, and what is Mr. Kim going to be seeking from Vladimir Putin?
Every time the North Koreans meet anybody, I suppose it's important. But in the ranking of summits for the North Koreans, this is near the bottom. There's not a whole lot the Russians can actually do for the North Koreans. Sort of on the upside, there's some downside stuff. The North Koreans park a fair amount of their illicit gains in Russia now. And the North Koreans can use Putin to sort of needle the Americans and sort of prod the Chinese and so on. My guess is that's probably why Kim is going, to sort of stir the pot, because things have sort of hit a wall with the Americans and the South Koreans.
Can you give me a brief history of the relationship between North Korea and Russia? Has it always been amicable?
Well, of course, I mean, the Soviet Union was a big patron during the Cold War, but the North Koreans back then were actually quite good at avoiding satellitization, if you will. That is to say that the North Koreans never became sort of the satellite of the Soviet Union and East Germany or Czechoslovakia did. And then after the Cold War ended, Russia economically sort of collapsed, especially out here in Northeast Asia. And so North Korea's patronage switched to China. Russia hasn't really been able to come back. So the relationship is amicable, but I mean, the Russians don't actually provide the North Koreans with too much, right? I mean, they can sort of like veto things at the UN and stuff like that, but the relationship is pretty transactional, right? It's probably a little bit closer, more affectionate with the Chinese, but with the Russians at this point, it's pretty much, tit for tat sort of status, or, you know, sort of exchange.
Is it surprising that this is Mr. Kim's first trip to Russia, given that historical relationship?
I'm not sure too much. Again, I think that, you know, the Russians were important out here back when the Soviet Union existed, and you arguably had sort of like Soviet nuclear deterrence covering North Korea. But, you know, the Russians have been pretty weak out here and a very sort of erratic partner at best for North Korea and for China, right? The Russians, like I said, didn't do a whole lot during the six-party talks. They're mostly sort of like leveraged to get the other players to talk to each other. My sense is, again, that it's really about sort of pressuring the Chinese with the threat that, hey, maybe we'll cut a side deal with the Russians and you'll be cut out and we'll get some cool favor from the Russians and we don't need you quite so much, right? It's a way of sort of pressuring the Chinese and also pressuring the Americans. Hey, look, we can go to this other nuclear power and maybe they can give us sort of assistance or something like that. But I would be surprised if the Russians, I mean, maybe Putin really wants to make a play, but I would be really surprised if the Russians came forward with some really generous offer, which is what North Korea needs, right? I mean, North Korea is so poor, it's so backward and broke that it needs practically aid, and practically like a giveaway, a grant. And I don't know if the Russians actually I don't know if they have the cash at this point. They're just too weak.
How's China likely to be viewing these talks?
Yeah, so my guess is that the Chinese and the Japanese and the Americans are sort of the real targets here, right? If the North Koreans can actually strike some kind of good deal from the Russians, if they can actually get sort of like cheap Russian oil or something like that, that puts pressure on the other players in the region to sort of come around and talk to the North Koreans and treat them more seriously and stuff like that. That's sort of doubtful. Russian power out in East Asia has always sort of collapsed. Russia's pretty weak out in this region. But, you know, the Chinese like the idea that North Korea is solely dependent on them, right? I mean, you're North Korea, of course, you don't want that, right? If you have multiple patrons, you can play them off against one another. And one of the reasons why China's managed to influence North Korea a lot in the last 20 years is because North Korea's really been cut off, right? I mean, we don't give them any assistance. South Korea, Japan don't anymore. Russia's too weak. And so North Koreans have been thrown back on China, which is one of the reasons why the North Koreans are always trying to talk to other people, because they're trying to sort of break away from the dependency relationship they have with Beijing.
Japanese state media has suggested Vladimir Putin will propose resuming the six-party denuclearization talks, which were last held more than 10 years ago. What do you think is the likely outcome on that?
I don't think it'll happen. I think the North Koreans at this point have met the American president face-to-face twice, and the North Koreans really won't be satisfied really with anything else. I think the Russians like the six-party talks because it keeps them relevant out here. It gets the Russians in the room and at the table, even though, again, they just don't have a whole lot to offer. At the six-party talks, the Russians didn't do a whole lot last time, right? It was really about sort of getting the other five parties to agree. So I think that's what the Russians would like, mostly because it sort of keeps them in the game and sort of stirs the pot. But it doesn't actually lead to any resolution, right? I mean, ultimately, the resolution is going to come when the North Koreans and the Americans actually agreed to, you know, denuclearization in exchange for, you know, sanctions relief or something like that.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Robert Kelly is a professor of political science at Pusan National University in South Korea. And this is RN Drive.